This is Rush Hour with Danny Burke on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Happy Friday, folks, and welcome into Rush Hour, presented by Bet Rivers. I am Danny Burke, your host, live out of the Bet Rivers Sportsbook here in Des Plaines, Illinois, just outside of Chicago at the Rivers Casino, getting you ready for the weekend full of football action. We got you covered, college, NFL, we're touching it all. We're hitting props to get things kicked off. But we'll get to that momentarily as I tease up the rest of the show because we got to talk about our lineup. Mike Pritchard, co-host of Betting Across America, will be joining us in 15 minutes. Pritch will be hitting on college football for this upcoming weekend. I know he's got a few games that he really likes, and maybe we'll talk about tonight's affairs as well. And then even more so down the road, James Salinas, who, if you're not familiar, hosts here at VSiN of the Pro Football Blitz with Brady Cannon, but even more so, Super Contest champ, I believe, in 2015 to be exact. But we'll get some Super Contest strategy if you're in any of the contests, even if you're not in the big ones out in Vegas, you're involved with any of them with the affiliates. Bet Rivers obviously has a Beat the Spread Challenge or just at your office pool. James will get us some strategic tips and just his overall thoughts on the Week 2 slate. And speaking of that Week 2 slate, I'll go over my best bets once again, not only in the NFL, but college football too. Well, okay, before we get into the picks, because there have been some news that may kind of get me into playing another game, and it's not great news for a couple of reasons, but Josh Jacobs ruled out for this upcoming weekend, and that kind of stinks because, well, one, that's just, you know, awful for the guy if he's going to have a lingering injury, and if you're looking to back the Raiders, not that I am, but Jacobs was a guy who we had a season-long prop of over 1,500 rushing yards, but, you know, thinking short-term here, this kind of, you know, gave me more incentive to maybe consider the Steelers in a spot here. How big of an impact is Jacobs being out going to create? Well, you obviously have Kenyon Drake in the backfield, who's a solid back, but, you know, Jacobs a little bit more explosive and the guy you want to be your premier back. And the Steelers have been getting love in this spot a lot really coming into this week, even before the Jacobs news. Steelers up to 6.5 now on the spread. This total's at 47.5. This is a game we played the under at the beginning of the week, which we'll touch on later. I feel more inclined to maybe consider the Steelers as a teaser option here a lot more now. And it's not that I didn't before because you had the big letdown factor with the Raiders coming into this game, a shorter week, just the advantages going toward Pittsburgh. But this is just another added piece to that puzzle. And I would maybe even consider it with the Patriots here. And I know that doesn't fall in line with teasing a road favorite in that spot with New England, but there are some outliers. There's some aberrations, and I think that could be one that could be a good angle for this weekend. Now, it's nothing that I played officially, but something just to keep on your radar to teasing down the Steelers potentially and looking for another team. And another team that could fit the bill, at least in just a good matchup this weekend, could be the Patriots, a team that's gone up from 3.5 to now 5.5 or 6 in some spots. Bill Belichick, 21-6 record overall versus rookie QBs. And he's going to have that opportunity against Zach Wilson and company on Sunday. But again, I'll tweet that out if I end up playing that. Nothing that I've done officially. But speaking of plays that I have done officially, let's get to some of the props that I've tacked on in our segment Prop Shelf. As we like to hit on here, folks, it is time to get ready with it. Let's get to it. There you see it, Prop Shelf, folks. And we've got a couple, or rather, a few actually that I've added to the slate for this weekend. Not an ideal performance last night, but we are looking to bounce back. And it's starting with our boy Christian McCaffrey. Receiving yards 42.5 for CMC. Overs minus 118. Under minus 112 as the Panthers are taking on the Saints. Now, what's interesting about this setup is that Christian McCaffrey was the leading receiver for the Panthers this last week against the Jets. 9 targets and 9 receptions. Caught them all and had the most targets from Sam Darnold to Christian McCaffrey. And look, can't blame him. McCaffrey's the best athlete on that field. He ended up with 89 receiving yards. His receiving yards prop, 42.5. So for the reason that he was the most targeted guy out there and he's not even a receiver, probably bodes well for him having another good performance against this tough Saints defense that will more than likely limit the receivers going downfield for Darnold. Thus, Sam having to rely on a guy like Christian McCaffrey with the shorter passes, with the dump-offs, those kind of type of plays. You're going to need to get some momentum going. And who better to rely on than Christian McCaffrey with his receiving yards prop at just 42.5. Again, he had the most receiving targets on the team last week, and that was against the Jets. Right, if he wasn't getting it to DJ Moore or Robbie Anderson more than Christian McCaffrey against a lackluster defense in the Jets, I would assume that he would rely on that shorter passing game even more so against a lethal Saints secondary and defense overall. So I like Christian McCaffrey over his receiving yards prop of 42.5 as the Panthers are taking on the New Orleans Saints. Let's go ahead and move forward with another receiving prop. This one going to be with the Bucs and Falcons game. How about Antonio Brown? Now, 68.5 currently is a number we're seeing pretty much about at Bet Rivers. But if you do a little soul searching, 64.5 is a number I snagged. The over was -134. And even with it at 68.5, obviously I like the 4 yards shorter and played that, but I would still entertain AB over 68.5 because look, you know, last week you saw that Tom Brady really does love this guy. And I get the argument that you're scared because you have Gronk, you have Mike Evans, you have Chris Godwin, Fournette out of the backfield. I understand. But that opens up the opportunities, honestly, more so for a guy like Antonio Brown, who last week got targeted 7 times, racked up 5 catches, 121 yards, and found the end zone on 1 big play. Now, you could say, okay, that's fluky. It was against the Cowboys defense in the secondary that's not that good. Okay, understood. Well, how about this Falcons secondary that is even worse? Last year, they allowed 294 passing yards per game, which was dead last in the NFL. Did nothing great against the Eagles this past weekend, made Jalen Hurts look like a superstar. And also last year, and I get this is taking a sample size from last season, but Antonio Brown last year against the Falcons in the first game got 5 catches on 7 targets, 83 yards and 1 touchdown. And then game 2, the dude went nuts. 11 receptions, 14 targets, 138 receiving yards, and 2 touchdowns. I don't know what it is, but Antonio Brown thrives against his Falcons secondary, and I'm hoping he will do the same this weekend. I'm playing Antonio Brown over 64.5 receiving yards -134. If you still find it out there, Bet Rivers has it 68.5, would still entertain the over there, but I do like Antonio Brown to have a good day against his Falcons secondary. That really just isn't a strength for them whatsoever. I mean, who knows what strengths this team has, if any, but I think Tom Brady is going to torch him like he has done continuously in the past, or at least 2 times last season and last week against the Cowboys, who very similar defenses to this Atlanta team, at least in the secondary. So like AB over his receiving yards. Now, how about Leonard Fournette sticking in this same realm here with the Bucs and the Falcons? Now, starting off with his rushing yards, this is more so of a stronger lean, and 34.5 is the number we're seeing Fournette at. Over -117, under -113. Now, last week, Fournette only totaled 32 rushing yards on 9 carries. They didn't really utilize him as much because that was a big passing game, right? It was a shootout, the Cowboys and Bucks going back and forth, and Tom Brady picking and prodding against his Cowboys secondary. Also, you know, they didn't need to run the ball as much because they were doing fine in the air. But my point being, too, look at their opponent this week. Maybe they're going to pass more like they did against the Cowboys. So, okay, maybe that scares you a little bit away from Fournette. But what maybe could entertain you playing this more so is how about everybody who rushed, the 3 guys who rushed for the Eagles last week against the Falcons, all went over this mark of 34.5. Miles Sanders, 15 carries, 74 yards. Jalen Hurts, 7 carries, 72 yards. Kenneth Gainwell, the backup, had 9 carries and 37 yards. All the 3 guys on the Eagles who rushed against the Falcons got over this rushing yards prop of 34.5. That gives me a lot of confidence that Fournette could do the same. Even if they're going to be passing to begin with, if they're up, which the assumption is they're going to be, considering how big the spread is and how much better Tampa Bay is, Fournette will get utilized in that role and should be able to get over 34.5. But the thing that scares me a little bit, just a little bit, is what you're hearing about Ronald Jones, how these guys are saying, yeah, he's the starter. We're going to give him reps. We still have confidence in him. And not that they shouldn't. They absolutely should. You got to use Ronald Jones. But maybe this is a good game for Ronald Jones to be the preliminary back. I mean, he's going to be, or the primary back. He's going to be the main guy and instill that confidence back in him after fumbling and getting taken out. What better game to put him back and get that confidence up than against this Atlanta team? So that's what gives me a little bit of hesitancy with Fournette over 34.5 rushing yards. Maybe it would be like a half unit type of bet, but keep an eye on that. I think Fournette over 34.5 rushing yards could be a viable option. But sticking on Fournette, the bet that I did make with Leonard, and again, do a little bit of searching, but his receptions prop at 2.5. The over was minus 165. The under was plus 125. I played this over 2.5 with him. Last week, he had 5 catches on 7 targets. I think he was the third most targeted guy for Tom Brady. And plus, last season, just looking at his production in the backfield with the passes, 11 out of 16 total games, including the playoffs, Leonard Fournette totaled more than 2.5 receptions, meaning he got 3 or more. And I think that it will be a great opportunity with him against the Falcons. So the official play I did make for Leonard Fournette, over 2.5 receptions at about minus 165 for Leonard against the Atlanta Falcons. So I think Leonard could have a big day, and with just the Falcons overall. And those are the bets that I did officially make in terms of props. A couple that I did just have some leans with. Henderson with the Rams, I think you could maybe take a look at him over 54.5 rushing yards. Last week totaled 70 against a better Bears run defense than the Colts have. And the Colts allowed Chris Carson to total 91 rushing yards. And I just think, you know, he's going to get used a little bit more so in this tougher spot against the Colts. So consider that. And then consider Josh Allen over 287.5 passing yards against the Dolphins. Week 2 last year against Miami totaled 417 passing yards. Not saying it's going to be the same thing, but Mac Jones was able to throw for 281 passing yards. Josh Allen wants to bounce back from that bad performance they had against the Steelers. Look for Josh Allen, or rather consider him over 287.5 passing yards. But we're going with CMC over his receiving yards, AB over his receiving yards, and Leonard Fournette over 2.5 receptions. All right, coming up next, we'll bring football back, but it's going to be collegiately. Let's talk with Mike Pritchard, co-host of Betting Across America, next right here on VSiN.
This is Rush Hour on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, well, BetRivers has you covered. BetRivers has launched a series of CityCasts designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. The Chicago CityCast, which I personally host, along with the Detroit, Philly, and Pittsburgh CityCasts, are up and running with 5 new episodes every single week. Be sure to check it out and subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, welcome back to it. It is Rush Hour, and I'm Danny Burke, your host, live here in the Windy City. But joining us now out on the West Coast, Mike Pritchard at MI Pritchard on Twitter, host of Betting Across America right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Time to talk some college football with Mike. And Mike, look, you know, last week's slate wasn't the most appetizing to say the least, but this one I'm actually looking forward to a lot more, and I know you are as well. And I want to begin with the game that has seemed to, you know, attract a lot of attention, and certainly here in the Midwest with Notre Dame and Purdue, because we got Big Ten and then just the Fighting Irish right here in the thick of it. And look, the past couple games for the Fighting Irish have been a sweat. There's no denying that. And that could be the case against the Boilermakers. However, we do see Notre Dame at home, lane 7 in the hook. Total here is at 58.5. Do you have confidence that Notre Dame can cover that spot?
I do, Danny, and great to be with you. You know, it's one of those situations where it's a dangerous number because of the hook. I mean, if I could get a 7, I would prefer that. But I just have confidence in Coach Kelly right now. I mean, this is one of those games where, you know, Notre Dame has not played well, or not to their standard anyway. And certainly Coach Brian Kelly has talked about that. So, you know, you're going into this game at home against Purdue. It is Big Ten. It is Notre Dame. And I just think it's going to be one of those games in which Notre Dame, the real Notre Dame, shows up and therefore comfortable with that hook situation even in this one.
Yeah, and, you know, Notre Dame's been kind of that interesting team even heading into this season, Mike. And kind of just looking down the long haul for them, what do you think the ceiling is for this team? Because quarterback could continue to be an issue for them. They lost a lot of pieces offensively. Is this going to be a team that could be, you know, within the conversation for the college football playoff at the end of the year? Or are they going to be, you know, an above-average team, maybe an 8-9 win type of season?
They're tracking above average, to be honest with you. I think when you have to replace a legendary type quarterback, that's always difficult. Look at Clemson. I know DJ is good, but and he's one of the top recruits in the country. But you're talking about Trevor Lawrence, who was there entrenched and had that culture kind of catered to his way, and that team catered to his way. They lost a lot of great players. And so even though it's Clemson, they're really good, and they got really good players, it's going to take some time to get back to that level. And I think that's what Notre Dame's going through, replacing legendary quarterback and then, you know, finding your own identity with the new players. That's something I think Coach Kelly needs to address, and I think he has. And, you know, there's a standard that you get to, and then as college football fans, even as bettors, we think that great programs can be like Bama or can be like Oklahoma or be like that. But the reality is that there's so much turnover, and it's hard to duplicate the legendary situations that you have sometimes with these programs.
No doubt about that. All right, Mike, well, let's move on. Arizona State, BYU. We see Arizona State laying 3.5 on the road against the Cougars. This total at about 50.5. This is one of those tricky spots where I feel like it's going to be torn between the public and the pros type of bet here. What are you thinking is the outcome for this game? Because for me, this is a stay away, but I'm banking on your opinion to sway me one way or the other.
Well, you know, I've looked at some tease situations with this one too. I just like BYU at home. I like when they have momentum on this side. And this is a program that I played when I was a player, and I know what they're all about. And certainly I've called a number of games up there in Provo. And I know when BYU, the Cougars, when they have it going, it's an intimidating, it's a tough place to play. You're also talking about Arizona State, who I believe has not played a road game in front of fans for quite a while. I want to say, 2019? When you think about the last few years, the last couple of years with COVID. And so you have Herm, you have some coaching issues on that staff too with what happened in the offseason. And BYU, they just seem to have it together. They just upset their rival right up the road in Salt Lake and Utah. They've beaten two teams from the Pac-12. And I just feel like they have this swagger about them that they can feel pretty good about this game. So you look at this, you look at the spread, 3.5. I mean, I like that situation, but I might like a teaser a little bit better than that.
Yeah, makes sense. Always gives yourself a little bit of added comfort there. And you're right. I mean, BYU's a different beast at home, and that could be the right angle to go about it. Even though if they're not going to be as dominant as in seasons past, it's a huge pride thing, and that home field advantage certainly is for real with the Cougars. Speaking of home field advantage, though, Mike, what about Auburn and Penn State and Happy Valley? We see the Nittany Lions now down to actually a 5-point favorite. They opened 6.5. And, you know, personally, I'm not as interested in the spread. I actually played this total under 53.5. I think these are two top defenses and could be more of a slow, methodical type of game. And it's going to be a real test for both of these quarterbacks, Bo Nix and Sean Clifford. I know Clifford already went up against a great defense in Wisconsin. How do you think he fares out against Auburn, though?
You know, Auburn, with the athletes, did they have the direction? And I think I look at that way with this program. So I know Coach Harsin pretty well, fairly well, from when he was at Boise. He's going to bring that structure offensively. He's helped Bo Nix already in terms of taking care of the football. And then also having a running game. I agree with that play if you're looking at the under, because I think Auburn wants to control the ball with the running game and certainly help out Bo Nix that way. And then two defenses that have played well. I love the fact that you got two teams, you know, both 2-0 ATS, and then you also have the fact that Auburn is feeling pretty good about themselves with their quarterback, but that running game I think could be the difference in this one. That's why I was siding and leaning towards Auburn Tigers here.
Yeah, I mean, and hey, look, getting that amount of points with this Penn State offense, that is fine, but they still have a lot to improve from last season. I get the movement going toward the Tigers, and I agree with you. If I'm playing anything on the spread, would certainly be looking toward Bo Nix and Auburn. All right, Mike, let's talk about your alma mater here. This game actually fascinates me, too, because, you know, I do the college football, picking the six games ATS and point spread weekly, and I didn't use this as an official play, per se, but the line movement to Colorado stuck out to me, and I honestly understand it here. And now your alma mater's laying 2 in the hook against Minnesota, who lost their running back, as we know, and you kind of saw that offense last week take a hit from it. This total we're seeing 48, but my question to you is, do you agree with this line movement toward Colorado?
You know, I do. I think I give a lot of credit to Minnesota, the Gophers, because of their outstanding performance that they had the first game of the year, and everybody saw it against Ohio State. But, okay, so Minnesota brings back a lot of players. Now, they bring back a lot of players defensively, but that defense was not very good last year. And so have they improved? I think they have enough or the equivalent for the first 30 minutes. So you're talking about the Gophers going to altitude in Boulder. It's an earlier start for my Buffs, which, you know, 11 a.m. kickoff time local, that's kind of difficult for the student body, Danny. But I think they'll be revved up. They're coming off some momentum. I hadn't played in Denver recently against A&M. They feel like they should have won that game. My only question, though, it's one of those questions that I think the Buffs need to answer. What are they going to do offensively? You know, what's their identity? They have playmakers galore on the outside, but they can run the football very effectively. They also try to play with this pace, and I think playing with pace gets them in trouble. So I'm looking for Coach Durrell to kind of take over play calling responsibilities offensively. If that starts to happen, then I really give the edge to the Buffs here in this one.
Mike Pritchard, ladies and gentlemen. You can follow him on Twitter at MIPritchard and also catch him hosting Betting Across America Monday through Friday right here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Mike, as always, appreciate the time, my friend. Enjoy not only college this weekend, but NFL. I'm sure you'll have a blast.
I will. Cannot wait for this weekend. Enjoy it. Thanks a lot, Danny.
Yes, sir, you bet. Mike Pritchard, ladies and gentlemen. Great info all around when it comes to college football. And like you said, dissecting this Colorado-Minnesota game. Interesting note about getting up, you know, a little bit earlier for Colorado with the start time, some things you kind of just maybe forget to consider here and there when it comes to handicapping, because you're already thinking of so many outliers, but it's the little things that can make a difference. And obviously Pritch has a lot of faith in his Colorado team, and, you know, whether or not he's going up against him, you got to take what he says with a lot in mind. So great insight per usual from Mike. We'll keep it going with some good insight. How about James Saleen is coming up next. We'll talk NFL with James, super contest champ in the past, so we'll get his strategy and maybe help you out, make some picks for this upcoming weekend, because there's always a few games you like, right? There's a few games you're infatuated with and you love, and then you get it narrowed down to that last two or even that last one. You're like, who am I going to fit the bill with for this team? Let's see how James kind of dissects that on a week-to-week basis, especially after week one when you have that recency bias playing a factor. And recency bias, you know, is a thing every single week, but especially at the very beginning of the season, something that's always in the back of your mind is the better. So we'll talk about that with James next, plus just some of his overall favorite selections for NFL Week 2. Stick around. It is Rush Hour here on VSiN.
This is Rush Hour on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Now is the perfect time for you to huddle up with the VSiN Pro Football Betting Guide. And the guide is only $19.99, and it is available now. Our experts provide profiles of every single team, along with advanced stats and power ratings. Plus, don't forget, you get best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. You can sign up for VSiN All Access, get all of that and more that we have to offer for the entire football season. Check it out now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Welcome back to Rush Hour. Danny Burke here, live out of the Bet River Sportsbook. Getting you prepped for this weekend full of plenty. College football, NFL, strategy for super contests, and that's what we are going to start this segment off with. We got James Salinas, very special guest, joining us right now, co-host of the Pro Football Blitz Saturdays and Sundays here on VSiN, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and former super contest champ. He knows what he's talking about, folks. And James, you know, I was teasing you coming into this segment because I wanted to start it off talking about the super contests and just contests in general and strategies. And I think, honestly, week two is a very important week because every week everybody's going to have recency bias, right? But especially at the beginning of the season, right after week one, how do you use that when it comes to handicapping your five picks? And what are some do's or don'ts when it revolves around that?
It's a Think about last week with especially teams, Danny, that you didn't expect to play that the way that they did. In particular, let's talk about the New Orleans Saints versus the Green Bay Packers. If there was one game that I don't think, for at least for me, for sure, did not expect to be a complete one-sided affair in favor of the Saints, that was the game. And I think we look at that and kind of take all those things into account as well as the Saints played and as awesome as Jameis Winston looked. No turnovers. Good for him. Now you're playing another team. Now you play the other side of that. Now you're playing a divisional game. And all the talk all week long about how the Saints throttled Green Bay, what's going on with Aaron Rodgers, all the drama off the field, how did that impact their play? I think it definitely impacted their play in that game against New Orleans. But that's just one game. Those points, all those plays, don't carry over to week two. So I think it's instances like that that you have to kind of look and see. All right, yeah, the Saints, well-coached team. We know there's plenty of veteran leadership on that team. They're going to compete, and they definitely brought the noise against the Packers that day. But does that carry over from week to week, and in particular for 1 week here going to week number two? I think not.
Yeah, and that's so important to note. I mean, as good as we always think Aaron Rodgers is going to be, sometimes that's not going to be the case in such a long season. It's so hard to succeed every single week in this league. And obviously that was evident in week one, but that doesn't mean you completely overreact, as you're alluding to here, potentially with the Saints and Panthers game. I know you got thoughts on this one, as you already kind of teased up, but look, James, I mean, Carolina's catching 3.5 at home in this spot. And not only are maybe everybody having high hopes on the Saints because of last week, but they're having issues internally with their coaching staff because of COVID. Is that something that you're taking into consideration when handicapping Carolina and New Orleans?
Definitely. Football, the games are won during the week. It's about preparation. And the fact that you're going to have, I think it's going to be seven coaches that are not going to be available for this game. Now, they were available during practice, but they weren't at the facility on the field. They were having virtual meetings. And I think in the day and age of now, virtual meetings, and I conduct a lot of virtual meetings throughout the week every day, and I know full well, I don't do this myself, Danny, but I know full well people aren't fully engaged when you're talking about virtual meetings. It's just not the same when you're looking at a computer screen as opposed to being in the same room. So I think that's a distraction for sure. It doesn't help. But the fact that thinking about it's another road game for the Saints. The Saints have been on the road. They've been away from home from New Orleans for the last 3+ weeks because of the storm that came in. And fortunately for them, it turned out okay for New Orleans, I guess, in a sense, not compared to Katrina. But think about last week, all the emotion that was built up in that and playing for their city, and good for the Saints. They made it through that. They played a tremendous game from start to finish. But it's so hard to carry that emotion over from 1 week to the next. And now you factor in the distractions with the COVID issues going on with the coaching staff, as well as look at the list of these injuries that are there for the New Orleans Saints. Key players. They added a couple more to injury reserve, both Quan Alexander and Marcus Davenport. Joined injury reserve. They have 12 players on injury reserve right now. So missing so many different players, a lot of playmakers out there. We'll see the status of Lattimore. He had thumb surgery during the week. What is his status? How effective is he going to be if he even plays? And now you're going to go back out on the road again, and you're going to go play a Carolina Panthers team that is healthy for one. They're very hungry for another. That defense, it's very young. They added Hassan Reddick on the other side to complement Brian Burns with that pass rush. Christian McCaffrey back fully healthy, had nearly 200 yards of total offense. And you're going to give me the Panthers plus points at home. It's sitting at +3.5. I took the Panthers. I like that number.
Yeah, and for the fact that it's over the key number of 3 is set up even more beautifully. And for all the reasons you just listed, that falls in line 100% of what you were just talking about strategy-wise for the contest. Yes, the Saints looked great, but at the end of the day, you have to consider all the other outliers with the coaches, with COVID. And you're right. I mean, those virtual meetings, you know, people are kind of just looking all over the place. It's a little bit different. And also those injuries that seem to be, you know, obviously it makes the news, but if you're not in tune, having the tweet updates from Field Yates, from Adam Schefter, all those guys, and you might be missing it. But you're right. A lot of things seem to be falling the opposite way of the Saints leading into this game. And because of that spread being at 3.5, I think the value, I would agree with you, tends to be with Carolina in this spot. But James, you know, moving on here, we're of course always interested in the Bears here in the Chicagoland area, but I want to get your thoughts on their matchup against the Bengals this week. 2.5 is currently where the spread's at. Totals at 45.5. You know, I'm someone who typically rags on the Bears. I don't look to bet on them, but to me, this is not a must-win game, but this is a game they have to win. I mean, Nagy's already got the seat that's getting a little bit warmer, and I get that they didn't look great on Sunday, but to me that was a game they were expected to lose, so my thoughts on how they should perform in this game didn't alter too much. But how do you think this one turns out at Soldier Field?
Yeah, I think for this game here, for the Bears home opener, we know it's going to be hot. It's going to be very humid there in Chicago on Sunday as well. But thinking about the matchup, where was Cincinnati last week? And the darling home dog last week won in overtime, really dumped a two-touchdown lead in the second half away to have to go to overtime. And we're fortunate for a Dalvin Cook fumble. I guess that was a fumble. I look at it the other way. But Dalvin Cook fumble that opened the door for them to be able to go down and drive and kick the game-winning field goal in overtime here. But looking back at the tape, and I went back and reviewed the game, watching some of the defensive sets. Now, it's not a great defense for the Cincinnati Bengals that don't like their offensive line either. But thinking back towards the defensive side, they have a couple heavy hitters in the secondary, namely their two safeties, Jesse Bates and Von Bell. Those guys love to patrol the middle of the field and lay some hats, and they definitely laid some hats on Minnesota in that game last Sunday. But we were really freed up with the addition of Ricardo Allen coming over from Atlanta. Now, he was a free agent acquisition. He was really a salary cap casualty there in Atlanta. Now, what Allen did coming over to Cincinnati is it really allowed them to play three safeties. And Allen played a lot of the high safety look, single high safety, veteran presence back there, not going to get fooled, and let Bates and Von Bell kind of roam around and go ahead and put licks on Minnesota. Well, now Ricardo Allen is not going to play in this game. Broke his hand on Sunday, so he is out for this game. So I suspect they're going to have to dial back those safeties a little bit. Going to have to be a little more conservative. It's mainly because of Allen Robinson. Hopefully Mooney is out there. Mooney can stretch the defense too. So I'm looking at the Bears here. I like the spot. I know it's a small favorite, so we're underneath that key number of 3 sitting here at 2.5. But on the road now, you're going to tell me that the Bengals, yeah, they looked great last week winning at home as a small underdog to the Vikings, but now they're going to go on the road into Soldier Field and beat a Chicago team that, yeah, I know there's a hot seat there on the coaching staff, but as far as that offense is concerned, I love Montgomery in this spot. So a couple plays, yep. I made. I did take the Bears laying 2.5, but I also like a prop with David Montgomery over 64.5 yards rushing. I think he's going to have a great day there because I think those safeties are going to have to play a little bit deeper. They're not going to be able to roam around in that second level of the field like they normally will because of that injury to Ricardo Allen. So make mine the Bears laying the 2.5 as well as David Montgomery over 64.5 yards rushing.
Could not agree with you more. Anything under 70, I think, with Montgomery, because I'm sure it'll get bet up, I think, is a viable option. That is how the Bears are going to win, controlling the time of possession and letting the guy who actually is moving your offense control the offense. And I think it starts with Montgomery, and that will be the story of the game. James, before we let you go here, we got about 30 seconds or so. Really quick, Bills and Dolphins, Miami catching 3.5. You like Tua in the spot?
Not so much Tua. I love the Dolphins in this spot. Plus,
fair enough.
Over that number again, plus 3.5. Think about this. We talk about weather all the time later in the season, how cold it is. Is it below zero? Is it windy? Is it snowing? We don't talk as much about weather in the first part of the season. Well, it's going to be in the 90s. Humidity is going to be 70%. And the home team Dolphins will be on the shaded side of the field. They're used to that heat and humidity. The Bills are not used to that sticky stuff. They're going to be in the sunshine sideline. I think it's a tough matchup for them too, especially with those tackles. I think they're going to get worn down. Give me the Dolphins plus 3.5 in a tight divisional game.
Boom. James Salinas, ladies and gentlemen, getting you ready for not only contest strategy, but a few games for the NFL Week 2 slate. James, enjoy the games. We're looking forward to catching you on VSiN tomorrow and Sunday. Take care, my friend.
Thanks, my man. Good luck this weekend.
You as well. James Salinas, at Rounding again on Twitter, and again, co-host of the Pro Football Blitz Saturday and Sunday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern time. Catch him with Brady Cannon. We'll get you squared away with all of that late night action, college, NFL, whatever you need. They've got you covered. All righty, coming up next, we're going over my best bets for the upcoming weekend. Once again, stick around.
This is Rush Hour on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetRivers Sportsbook is the industry leader when it comes to online sports betting. BetRivers has you covered for the NFL season. They are offering same game parlays in all of the pro football matchups. Plus, they're bringing back the Reduce the Juice promotion on game days. And this NFL season, they have a $1 million Beat the Spread challenge with thousands of dollars given away each week. Pro football betting is more rewarding at BetRivers. Download the app or go to BetRivers.com to bet. Offer valid in Colorado, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey. Must be 21. Gambling problem. Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Colorado, 1-800-522-4700. Michigan, 1-800-270-7117. 1-888-522-3500 in Virginia. And Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. It is that time, ladies and gentlemen. We are wrapping up Rush Hour here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I am Danny Burke, and it is time for Danny's Dimes heading into the weekend, both NFL and college football. I might add some more later, so be sure to follow me on Twitter at DannyBurke5 and VSiN, VSiN.com/subscribe. You get the daily newsletters with everybody's best bets, so check them out there to get you ready for tomorrow and Sunday. Let's go ahead and begin in the NFL, folks. Let's talk Bears and let's talk Bengals. We just touched on this with Mr. Salinas, but we are on the same page. Instead of laying the 2.5, I played Bears on the money line early this week. Again, I think people are overreacting to what happened last week, being Cincinnati barely beating Minnesota in a game where they would have lost if Dalvin Cook didn't fumble. Also, the Bears not looking great against the Rams. Hey, guess what? The Bears weren't supposed to win that game. That's exactly how I expected that game to go, and changed nothing about my thoughts heading into week two against the Bengals, except for the fact that Montgomery is going to be an absolute beast, even more so against Cincinnati. So that's probably going to be the play that I add on Montgomery over 60.5 rushing yards with a play that I saw best number out there. But for this game right now, money line for Chicago is my play. Andy Dalton should be able to do well enough against his former team. Even if he doesn't, Fields will get implemented to save the workload for him or to add more production because, look, Matt Nagy, like we said, seats getting warmer. He can't afford to lose a game at the season opener against the Bengals. So this is almost a must-win for him and company, and the Bears have enough talent to do so. Montgomery will get enough carries. That will let the Bears control the time of possession like they did against the Rams, and that will help this team succeed. Now, defensively, yes, there are major concerns in the secondary, especially when you're going up against Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, and Jamar Chase. But the offensive line for Cincinnati allowed 5 sacks to this Minnesota defensive interior. What is Khalil Mack, what is Akeem Hicks, and Robert Quinn going to be able to do? Well, they better get some pressure on there for the amount of money they're getting paid and the expectations we have for them. So it's going to be a tough day for Joe Burrow. It's going to be a tough day for Joe Mixon, who, although had a great running performance against the Vikings, the Bears' run defense is very solid. The secondary is the issue, but it all starts with that defensive front, which should have a better outing in this game. Bears' money line is the play for Chicago versus Cincinnati. Let's go ahead and move on to the Raiders and Steelers. This game, we touched the total 49.5. It opened early on at some spots, and one of the books here in Illinois had it at 49.5, and I took advantage of the opportunity, played it under 49 in the hook, and now you're seeing it at 47.5. We talked about Josh Jacobs at the beginning of the show. He's not going to be in this game. Spread has Pittsburgh minus 6.5, and that's the way I would lean. And if you don't want to go with the total because it's a little bit too low, then I would look toward maybe teasing down Pittsburgh and finding another team to pair it with. But again, the under for this game is the move. Raiders are coming off that game on Monday night. Short week, letdown game for Las Vegas. And as good as their offense can be, Pittsburgh's got a great defense. Tough matchup for the Raiders offensively. And on the other side, I mean, Pittsburgh's offense wasn't great last week, but, you know, they're not going to be amazing against this Raiders defense, but they'll do well enough. And especially where they will thrive will be on the ground game with Najee Harris. They want to get him going. They had him in every snap last week, and the run defense for the Raiders didn't look great against the random guys they threw together, did Baltimore. So look for the Steelers and Raiders game to stay under the total. Again, I got 49.5, a little bit dicey now at 47.5. You get 48 or 48.5, would still advise it in that range, but like the under in this game and like the Steelers as well. Steelers not an official play, but just another outlet if you don't want to get involved with the total. All right, then moving on with another total opportunity, Titans and Seahawks. This one could see plenty of points as indicated by the movement with this number up to 54 now at BetRivers. Open 52.5, I snagged 53. But look, the Titans offensively were a mess against the Cardinals. Now, the Cardinals have a fairly solid defense, but also the Titans had three turnovers, which shouldn't probably be the case against the Seahawks team that does not have as good of a defense. Henry had just 58 rushing yards. That's going to change. Henry's going to do Henry things once again, and even if he doesn't, Tannehill hopefully should get enough time, should have more ability to pass to his two stud receivers in Brown and Julio Jones, and I think the Titans will provide enough offense. Don't panic if you're a Tennessee fan or a backer. They'll be okay. On the other side for Seattle, well, the bad news for Titans backers is their defense is atrocious still. That was evident in Week 1, giving up 416 total yards of offense to the Cardinals. The Seahawks and Russell Wilson are for sure going to be able to take advantage and pick and prod that lackluster secondary that is Tennessee's. Russell Wilson throwing to DK, throwing to Lockett. I don't care who it is. Russell will pick them apart. The Seahawks will put up plenty of points themselves, and the Titans will do enough to contribute to the total. That's why I play this one over 53. If you're right there on board with me, then over 54 still could be a good look. You know, a point difference isn't ideal, but, you know, this one has a capability of just being an absolute high-scoring game, and that's why I play this total over 53. Now, we talked about the props at the beginning of the show. We won't go into depth with them too much, but Christian McCaffrey over his receiving yards, 42.5. Antonio Brown over 64.5 receiving yards. And then Leonard Fournette over 2.5 receptions are the props that I've played as of this point. Again, I will probably tack on David Montgomery over 60.5 rushing yards. So consider that one as well. He's going to take advantage of this Bengals defense. So that's really all I got for NFL right now. But again, I'll tweet more out if I have them. But in terms of college football, let's move on to what I have collegiately, and that starts with Northwestern and Duke. Now, of course, you can't bet on in-state teams in Illinois right now, but if you have it available to you, here is what I advise. Taking the 3 points with Duke in this game. Nothing Northwestern has done gives me any confidence to want to lay 3 points with them on the road. I know Duke hasn't looked great or anything, but where the advantage is going to lie is in the running game with Duke. Durant has 6 total touchdowns as of this point, 296 rushing yards total, averaging just under 7 yards per carry. Northwestern is allowing 178.5 rushing yards per game. That is very unlike Northwestern and Pat Fitzgerald. Going on the road is not going to be easy for them, and I'm not saying Duke's going to win outright, but I'm not going to be shocked. It's more so of you're giving this team 3 points. Northwestern is laying 3 on the road right now. That seems like a messed up line, in my opinion. Bad as Duke maybe is going to be this year, I don't think they're going to be bad against Northwestern. I think they control the time of possession. We'll see what Hunter Johnson can do. And Gunnar Holmberg hasn't been terrible. Not that Hunter Johnson's been bad. They're kind of even keel right now. But the running game advantage goes to Duke, and I'm taking 3 with Duke is what I did earlier. I know, like you're seeing, 2.5 at a lot of spots, but 3 is the number that I got with Duke. Now let's talk about another college game here, Middle Tennessee, UTSA. This one I played over 58.5. UTSA's had a solid offense as of this point. They're averaging over 300 yards in the air, 161 on the ground. I know they haven't played stiff competition right now, but 37 against Illinois, looking pretty good for UTSA. Middle Tennessee on the other side, they're getting about 265 passing yards in the air. Not too much on the ground game, but I think this game just has a lot of capability of going to the over, and that's where you've seen a lot of the momentum as well. So over 58.5 for Middle Tennessee and UTSA. And finally, we've got Auburn and Penn State. We teased this one with Pritch earlier in the show. I played under 53.5. You've seen the movement go toward the under in this spot as well. I believe it was at 52.5 or somewhere around there right now. These are two great defenses, right? I mean, Auburn has only allowed 10 points, and that was Week 1 versus Akron. Then nothing against Alabama State. They blanked them. Penn State allowed just 10 to Wisconsin, 13 versus Ball State. But at the end of the day, Bo Nix is finally going to see some stiff competition this weekend and this season on the road in Happy Valley. Penn State with Sean Clifford, yeah, he did well enough, obviously, to beat Wisconsin, but I think it's going to be reminiscent of that Wisconsin game. Slow. More just shorter tempo and just really not that big of explosive plays. These defenses are good enough to limit them, and I think it's going to be a feeling of a Big Ten type of atmosphere despite Auburn not being in the Big Ten, but that's what's going to happen in this game. That's why you've seen the total go toward the under, and that's why I played it under 53.5. That's all I got for college football, folks. Auburn, Penn State under 53 in the hook. Middle Tennessee, UTSA over 58.5, and catching the 3 points with Duke as they take on the Northwestern Wildcats. And that's going to do it here for another edition of Rush Hour. Again, feel free to follow me on Twitter at DannyBurke5. I'll kind of throw out these tweets and VSiN.com/subscribe, not only to get my action, but everybody's action from hosts and guests right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. So best of luck with all your bets. Enjoy the games this weekend. We'll catch up again on Monday.